This is We Are What We Overcome. What you're about to hear are the ramblings and reflections of three ordinary people, drawing on their own personal and occasionally professional experiences. These conversations are unprepared, subjective, and should not be taken as medical advice or instruction. Anyone seeking help should always carry out their own research, or better yet, speak to a professional about their circumstances.
All right. In that case, let's rock it.
We Are What We Overcome on this occasion features musician Matt McGuinness, improviser Nick Tyler, and psychotherapist Wes Evans. Sit back, enjoy, and remember, it's good to talk.
Hi, folks. We are back with We Are What We Overcome. This is a podcast about mental health and about, well, talking to each other about problems before they become massive problems and just kind of getting to know each other better, really. We are back in the year of our Lord 2022. Last time we were talking about New Year and a little bit about New Year's resolutions, and it seems fitting that we are now in a new year. In fact, horrifyingly about to be in a new month in the new year beyond January, which has just gone, which I'm not entirely psyched about. And we're going to be talking about regrets. One of those regrets might be that we didn't do anything in January. Speaking only for myself, who could possibly say? But regret as a general topic. But first, as always, we like to check in and see how we're all doing, because that's an important thing we should all do a little bit more often, instead of just pretending and saying everything is fine, just fine. So how are you, Mr. Matt?
I think you find me in a good place, because it feels like this week things are starting to become a bit clearer. I got COVID on Christmas Eve, so that lasted through Christmas and New Year. So, yeah, that's what I wanted for Christmas. It was on my list. I asked Santa Claus for it, and he came good. Well done.
Oh, well, thanks, Santa.
You must have been a good boy.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Well,
seems very populist.
Yeah, I suppose it's the kind of thing, besides the illness bit, it's the kind of thing you want. I spent all day in bed being waiting on hand and foot watching TV. That's all right, isn't it, I think?
Success.
But, I feel grateful, or whatever it is. I haven't got through to the other side, and I'm feeling vaguely normal and human. How are you feeling, Wes?
I'm feeling all right. I'm slightly regretting using these new earbuds as opposed to the ones that I knew worked, just to keep on trend there and on theme. I too had COVID over the Christmas period.
Oh, guys, come on.
Yeah. Do you not join the COVID club, Nick? No,
I did not. I'm sorry.
You dodger. Mm. Well, a few of us in the house ended up having it over a staggered period of time, but we seem to be clear of it now. Broadly speaking, I'm feeling all right. I think I'm just coming out of the tail end of a really busy period and thinking, whew, but I think I spotted that and kind of addressed it. So as opposed to just kind of muddling on, which is a good thing. What about you, Nick? How are you doing?
Mostly right. Entirely non-COVID, I'm afraid. I did not have that over Christmas. So it was
normal
Christmas. So there's none of this being waited on hand and foot nonsense. It was just straightforward, you know, regular Christmas misery. So without
I want to say I didn't get waited on hand and foot, actually. just to clarify. Yeah, so I did join the COVID club, but I must have been in like a basic room, and you must have had the VIP kind of room there, Matt.
The joy of older children.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, genuinely useful for once. That's cool. I am okay. It's been a very busy month, which is why I don't remember that January has really happened, and why I'm a bit shocked that February is upon us already. It was after a very busy December, and then a couple of weeks of very quiet Christmas, which I think, in retrospect, I should have tried to make more plans for. Because I end up getting a bit stressed and oddly down if I don't really have things to do, even though that's in theory a good thing for Christmas. Like, you know what, we'll do nothing. But we had a house to redecorate and stuff, and I handled that quite badly, I think, the sudden gap and pause in doing activities. So getting back into January has been quite good for me. It's been, again, a very busy month. But so back
into normal routine. Is it about normal routine?
Partly normal routine. I think it's probably just having the things to do and having a bunch of unrealistic expectations. I think about, okay, the building work is over. We can just make our house done before Christmas and then everything will be fine. Whereas, of course, that was impossible. And then in the absence of doing things, I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing with myself, because that's all I really wanted to do. And so that kind of sucks a little bit, and I wasn't great company. But we're at the other side of that, and it's busy, which makes me a bit hyper, which makes me kind of happy, but possibly equally unbearable to be with. So there's no winning, really. It's it's unfortunate.
Lovely. So today's theme then, regrets. What do we make of that? Where do people's heads go about? I don't know about you two, but whenever approaching doing another recording, I sit there and think for a moment about, okay, so we're going to speak about this topic, and I kind of check in with myself where my head goes, what we mean by it, and what avenues we're going to end up going down potentially.
What occurred regrets. To you when you did that?
Yeah, so I was thinking about how necessary or useful or how universal regrets are. I'm sure everyone has their own relationship with regrets. Everything from being stuck in regret and that probably being really damaging, through to maybe what you could call, I don't know, a healthy level of regret, just to be able to recognize, oh, that's not how I wanted something to be, or I don't want to do that again, or whatever. Through to, which I'm sure a lot of people say, and maybe they have done in the new year as well, which is, you know, new year, new me, no regrets kind of thing. And that kind of thing of, I will not feel regret because it's pointless and all of that. And I also wonder how helpful or unhelpful that is. So that was where my head initially went to.
Ah, that's interesting. Go on, Matt, go for it.
Mine always goes, whenever regret comes up, hindsight always seems to be stuck in there at the same time. And I absolutely, every time anyone says it, well, I wish if I'd had hindsight, I would have done this. I hate it. I mean, it's just because it's just like, you know, well, if you had a superpower, you'd be able to fly rather than have to pay Ryanair to go. But, you know, it's just not happening. And we haven't got hindsight. And it's just one of those things, isn't it? It always just feels such a negative thing to me.
Oh, like a thing that just...
To feel regret or to talk about the hindsight thing, or both?
Well, I suppose it's the part of regret where you think, I'd wish I'd done that. So,
yeah,
not in the sense of a learning thing, but actually thinking, you know, you have a daydream and you think, oh, if I had done that, this would have happened. That bit of it just seems really pointless.
That's interesting.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I shoulda, woulda, coulda. Two kinds of regret, or two things that I maybe get mixed up as regret. One is that, you know, I should have done something different, and that would have made things better. You know, like some decision or choice that we made, where had we done that, our life would have taken a different course somehow. But then there's the other one, which seems to be the same as guilt, which is, I wish I hadn't done that. That made things awful, but it hasn't necessarily like changed life around you. As if there was one that you could do something. As if there's one that you could do something about now, and there's another kind that you can't. You know, like you've broken.
That's it,
and it's done. Whereas the other one is like, well, I guess I could still fix that, but I haven't done anything about it. And I don't.
That's a really good point. One of them relates to just looking backwards and feeling the stuff, and one of them relates to looking backwards and then, I don't know, imagining what forwards would be or something. You know, there's something about looking backwards and forwards here, isn't there? Which we do in our minds. Well, although we're always in the here and now, we have to look forwards, we have to look backwards. Living in the now and stuff has become a popular thing in recent years. It's become a bit of a buzz thing and all of that. And there's a lot to be said for it, but we have to be able to look forwards and backwards sometimes to plan, to remember, to learn, to prepare. And we can do it unhelpfully, can't we? We can what if to death, then we can shoulda, woulda, coulda, and look back and ruminate to death. But yeah, Nick, I think you're right there. You're onto something. So like, looking back and going, I wish I hadn't have done that, because if not, then maybe this and maybe that is one thing. But what about just looking back and going, ah, shit, that happened. And just maybe feeling the loss of it or the hurt of it or the guilt of it or whatever. That does feel different.
And I guess it's maybe a question of what it is that provokes that sense of regret. I was trying to think of good examples from my life. I'm not that great at looking backwards. And when I do, I only remember bits and pieces. But it seems like most of those are regrets, which is kind of annoying. Like I have a generic... my life has sucked. Why couldn't I have made it good? I have like a sort of generic regret for like not making more of my time at university, for example, which I could totally have done something about at the time, but didn't. but I don't know what difference that would have made to my life. So that's kind of a general like, sense of regret.
Find yourself going, oh, if I'd have made the most out of university, then this, then this, then this. But you do regret that.
Yeah.
Do you mean educationally or like smoking pot or partners or what?
A whole combination. So you know, I went to university because it was a thing that you did next after A-levels, not because it was a thing that I necessarily wanted to do. And then instead of really doing anything academic, I just got stoned for 3 years and hung out with a bunch of people who I really liked, but in retrospect, didn't in any way help me like achieve academically or like get a bunch of things done that in theory I could have gotten out of university. And you know, so I have like a generic sense of regret for that. Like, oh, I could have done something much more useful. I could have come out, I could have gone and done some things. Instead, I got really good at playing Tekken 3.
That is looking forward a little bit then, because it is going, I could have done this, that, and the other.
But on the other hand, I don't know what I could have done that would have ended up getting me into a position that I'm happy in, like in a house with a partner I love and a bunch of cats and a job that I really like. I don't know that it would have made that work. It's just, I feel like I could have done more. I could have read another book or something. But I don't feel particularly bad about it. I don't feel like crushed inside. I don't feel a sense of guilt tied into that regret.
Do you know, I went through the whole of most of my life not thinking for one minute about some of the stuff and I guess not contemplating what did or didn't happen and that sort of thing, which and having a view about regret as sort of pretty, I don't have regrets. Mm-hmm. and then something when my dad was really ill, we were in the hospital in Liverpool, and you know, with the doctor trying to tell you all the stuff about how long you know you might have, and they don't know, do they? They're not God, or they don't know the timetable particularly. They've got a rope, I mean, even God's not God, but you know, they don't really know the sort of exact timetable. They just give you a sort of rough this, that, and the other, and so he seemed okay, and then I said, all right, I'll nip off and go and see a relative and chat. And as I was just about to get to the relative, they phoned me up to say that, you know, he was dying, basically. You know, he was... and by the time we got back, he'd gone. And so that I think that, because it was so powerful, that thing started me off actually thinking there might be something in this regret bit, because I definitely regret leaving the hospital at that point. You know, and I still can't work out whether I ran away from him or whether it was fine. You know, you don't really have a proper recollection of the time, do you, or a memory. You know, you put it on yourself that you should have just stayed. But you don't know whether that was true or not, whether it was actually, he could have been like, you know, okay for another 3 days or 3 weeks or whatever. But I think that it really started me to think that maybe... maybe my choices aren't perfect. Maybe there's
what an extraordinary idea, Matt. I have a similar one. When my nana was ill and went into hospital when I was, I don't know, early 20s, I can't even remember the time. And she went into hospital. I chose not to like drop everything and go straight there. Because like, well, people go to hospital all the time. You know, she'll probably be fine. Inevitably, of course, was not. And so having not gone to see her, didn't get to see her. And I guess that sort of regret weighs, because that does feel like there was a decision to be made. And we made a call or some kind of decision, you know, through being an agent in our own lives or just from laziness or whatever. And you feel like that's a decision that you could easily have just made the other way. And because you didn't and you can't fix it, that just sits there forever on you.
It's funny that you both mentioned this. Go ahead, Matt.
I there isn't a week go by that I don't think about that. And the other thing as well is, do you know what? Anytime anyone says to me, think I'm going to see my dad, think I'm going to see my mum, I always go, well, the go. It really has changed my view on that. So, I mean, there is some positive to that, all this stuff, isn't it? You know, I think you started off with that, whereas, you know, in terms of what we can learn from it. Anyone says anything like that to me now, I always just say, everything else is rubbish, just go and see them. You know, because it is, isn't it? You know, it's, you know, going to work for another 4 hours, or, you know, going to see this, or, you know, or it's a bit cold in the evening, or it's just garbage. You just go, don't you? Mm-hmm.
So there's something about this idea that regret can give us perspective, I suppose, or kind of help us see what really matters to us, or clarify what we feel is important and not. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting that you both just used those two examples, because that's the other thought that popped into my mind when I was thinking about regret as a topic. And it's a similar story. My gran was taken into hospital. We've spoken about my gran before, I think. Mm-hmm. Like she was like my other parent. My mum and my gran raised me together. So she was incredibly important to me. And she went into hospital, and I did go and see her, and she was ill. I also had to be at uni for the weekend. I was drawing towards the end of my degree. And so I then went to uni with a view to coming straight back afterwards. And she died while I was at uni, but I also don't think that I expected that we were at that place either. It was that kind of thing you were saying, Nick, you know, people go into hospital. But for her, it was, she goes into hospital and she always bounces back. And this time she didn't. And so I feel that regret. And it makes me think that sometimes regret can also be linked to the loss of something. The loss of something that could have been, or the loss of something I know I would have had if the decision would have been different, which is a little bit different from my life would have turned out different, and maybe this and maybe that, which is the thing we said before. But I would have gotten to say goodbye, maybe, or whatever. So there's probably a few kind of ways of thinking about regret and a few layers within this, isn't there? And I suppose, go on.
Yeah, no, you should really think about it, but it's something about placing a massive amount of weight on one brief moment, because, you know, we can have that, you know, if I'd seen them one last time, done one more thing, you're like, well, you'd already spent 20 years with them, 20, 30 years with them. They already know how you feel. You already know how they feel. Yeah, it's this idea that, but I had like one more opportunity to do a thing differently that you probably wouldn't have done. You've probably just gone, all right. And then left, and then it would happen the next day, or something like that. There's an imaginary like determinism that we invent in our minds, I think, for, you know, this single thing would have made a difference. If I'd done just that one thing, that would have changed everything.
Maybe sometimes it's that, but maybe as well, like, I don't know, I'm making up scenarios in my head now, but you know, for a person that has lost someone and maybe never said that one thing they wanted to say, they could feel regret for not having said it, couldn't they? And I don't know, maybe it can also be about, I would feel different now if that thing had happened. I wouldn't be feeling bad for not having said it. Or, you know what I mean? To run with that example.
But that implies fascinating, like, specialness about these occasions. Because maybe you wouldn't have done that anyway, you know, and it's, we're almost mythologizing our past. It's like, you know, that fight with someone who you really hated. It's like, you know, if I turned around and, like, lamped them really, really hard and told them exactly what I thought of them, it's like, I'd probably never have done that thing. But because I can... because it's in the past, so it's safe, so it can't be changed anyway, I can then mythologize that moment that, you know, I had this chance to stand up to this thing or to do this thing, and because I didn't, the fact that I might never have done it grants me this, like, heroic, all-powerful status in my own past where I could have made everything different by constantly reflecting on this thing and making it more than just this moment in time, which is all any of these things really are, that I had no control over, no real agency in. But because I can reflect on it, I can make it this much more massive a deal, and I guess make it about me, not about the thing that happened or about the other people in it.
Do you know, you also, I think, have to be careful, didn't you? Because I think there's two things. One is the fact that my dad knew Nick was saying. My dad knew what I thought about him. We'd had loads of conversations over the months. And so there's none of that. So, but it's still the other thing that follows on it, you have to be careful of your reaction to it, because it's filled me with a bit of so I was thinking about doing some shows this year, and I'm just going to do them. And I think part of that's come from that, you know, like that whole no regret thing and just get on with it. But actually, maybe I shouldn't do them all. Do you know what I mean? Maybe I shouldn't run off to Edinburgh again, which is important, planned on doing for the whole of August. Maybe I shouldn't, you know, maybe I think maybe it does fill you with a sort of a bit more of a carefree attitude, and you just got to be careful that doesn't go too far.
Well, it could, couldn't it? For you, that's the case potentially. And I suppose, yeah, so I suppose what you're saying is it regret could also lead us to some very definite conclusions about things, which we start then to apply to everything else. It could, couldn't it? Yeah. So I feel bad that this thing didn't happen. So from now on, I'm going to make sure that ... and you know, I have lots of conversations with clients in the work that I do and stuff. And the one thing that becomes a bit of a theme is that very rarely is there this one rule that is right all of the time. And actually, that the best thing is to be able to have the agency and capacity to make a fresh decision or look at it in a fresh set of eyes each time and assess it for what it is. But as human beings, what we tend to do is make meaning of things and look for patterns and start to broad brush approach everything, you know. That happened, even if unconsciously, that happened, and so therefore that thing's dangerous, or I'm not very good at this, so I'll never be any good at it, or whatever it might be. And so I suppose you're right, Matt, being careful about regret, because maybe it could lead to some overgeneralizations or knee-jerk reactions for similar situations in the future or whatever else. And maybe that's a good thing for us to think a bit more about before we run out of time and stuff. We're probably like halfway through-ish or just after halfway through-ish. But like, what do we want to do with regret? And what's the kind of role of regret? Or like, what's probably, do we think, a good ways to handle it? Because for me, there's something about a balance between we've got to acknowledge the feelings that are left over from stuff. That feels important to me. But we perhaps have to be careful of what we carry forward as a result of that. And
so that every time any relative goes into hospital, we never leave the side of their bed, ever. No way, leave me alone for a minute. I'm just coming here for a nose job.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. You know.
Those nose jobs could go wrong. You know.
You don't know. I don't want to regret it. Yeah.
You know, I can see that. Yeah, because my dad spent a while in hospital a couple of years ago, and so did my stepmom. And I went to see them a lot more than I think I would have done otherwise, because they were probably going to be fine because they're in hospital. I was like, I will go and like see them again. and I wonder how much of that is like for them or for me. You know, how much I'm like paying backwards for a regret that I feel.
It's a good question.
With someone else. You know, and it's like, Jesus, I can't believe you come see me again. Can you just leave me alone? It's like, well, I think, you know, it feels very important that I do that because I messed this up before. So now this is going to be all of your work. You know, the weird projection of the past into the future. I can certainly say that aren't the right ones. I think about that with, like, you know, having had, you know, good friends that I've fallen out with that, you know, I regret not fixing or regret doing whatever at the time.
Yeah.
And I wonder what the consequence of that is. Is the outcome of that I then go and like patch things up or like reach out? Or is it I just go, well, maybe I'll be better off not having close friends? Because then I avoid the whole problem. You know, I could just flee, go and live in a shed on a mountaintop and not have to worry about any of these things. Yeah, because it all arises from human interaction, which we deal with well or badly, with all the randomness of other humans. And, you know, the best way to avoid all of that trouble is just to avoid all human interaction, right?
Makes sense. Yeah. The other thing we talk, if you think about the different ways in which we've been thinking about regret throughout this conversation, we've looked at it in a few different ways. And like, if we relate regret to kind of loss, because it is often linked with loss, isn't it? You know, isn't it important to acknowledge loss? I think it is. But then, so there's something about a balance between kind of acknowledging and kind of doing what you need to do with it. But I guess that not slipping into carrying some unhelpful stuff forward as well. I mean, even the other thing we've said about, you know, people, no regrets. Like, I don't think that's particularly helpful, is it? You know,
I find it very hard.
It's not the way I would want to kind of do things. And I'm trying to think, well, why, you know?
But also, it sounds kind of weird. It sounds, I don't know, sort of sociopathic, doesn't it? Yeah, I've got no regrets. One, I don't believe you. Is it? Do you just not remember what you've done? You just act and do things. Or two, like, or you don't care. because whatever you do, no matter how well intentioned, will at some point harm or injure someone else or yourself. If you're not capable of looking back at that and go, oh yeah, maybe that was really bad when I cut off my own hand for a laugh. That's just perplexing. It seems very odd to not be able to look back and judge whether or not your previous actions were right or wrong. Yeah, whether or not you assess them correctly, to not even be able to judge, to look back.
Or just to feel the hurt, pain, or disappointment, or guilt, or whatever about a decision that has happened, or a thing that has happened, whether or not, and not in the way of, oh, I should have done it differently, just to acknowledge that, that wasn't very good, kind of thing. It feels like a recipe for kind of, but a lot of the ideas that we can end up getting fixed on, especially in New Year, New Me mode, you know, things become too simplified and too kind of hard and fast rule and too generalized. And so you end up with messages like, well, you just got to keep going, or live in the now, or, well, you've got to find the positive, or, well, you shouldn't regret things because it's already happened. You can't change it. So these just become little rules that are almost too simple. But it's not as, you know, like sometimes we need to feel and acknowledge the hurt. And sometimes, yeah, we could be, make sure we're not missing the positive, but we have to acknowledge what's not positive as well. It's like balance, isn't it? And, we could do with not being so preoccupied about the future that we miss the now, and it's probably helpful to be in the now, but actually it's really helpful to look forwards and backwards. And so for me, regret feels like one of those kind of things that maybe we need to take some kind of balanced approach to.
That's incredibly difficult to do though, isn't it? To have a...
It is.
Right at the point where you're regretting something and the emotions are running high, to be able to step back from it and think, well, I need to learn from it. But not beat myself up about it. That's really hard.
It's our human response.
What stops us from doing it? Yeah, it is. It's fear. It's fear, guilt, all those negative feelings. Yeah, it's probably a defense, isn't it? It's a way of coping. It's a defense mechanism. It's protection.
Because obviously, what you don't want to do and is look back and go, oh, yeah, that was my fault. That's all totally my fault. Because then what do you do with that? You know, the avoidance of pain makes a lot of sense. And we've talked about this in quite a cognitive way, I guess, in describing these things. We haven't really talked about the sensation of regret. And I imagine that is very similar to grief that we've talked about before.
I think so, yeah.
You know, I experience emotions like in the middle of my body. You know, and it's that pain, anxiety, and fear all live in sort of the same sort of place, just right under the wherever my rib cage joins up. That's where I feel all of those things. And I must be, I'm not sure I can distinguish between them very easily, but I feel them all there, and it's a burning pain when it's strong. And yeah, I don't want that. Avoiding the past is an excellent way to avoid that. But I'm not entirely sure I know what to do with it once it is there. You know, these things fade over time because I suppose we can't maintain that intensity. Yeah, that's just crushing.
Time's a healer.
I think it is, but not in a healing way. Well, I guess you're just less unwell way because you're older now. the illness has died in you. Because we can't feel the things that intensely, because when we do feel them that intensely and continuously, that's where it tips over into mental illness, isn't it? It's
I think that sums you up, Nick. Yeah. Illness has died within me.
Oh. Is that the title of your autobiography?
I'm gonna put it in a greetings card. It's really lovely.
May the illness die within you.
I think that's quite possible.
Make sure you go to the hospital and make sure you drop off that card or you will regret it.
Yeah, I don't know if I said what I intended to there. Maybe I did, but didn't realise it.
Are you regretting that now?
Yes, I am. I can feel that. But we told you, when we can't get rid of an emotion, when we feel an emotion too intensive, we can't moderate it or let it fade away or let it die inside us, then that's where it becomes problematic, isn't it? So I guess it's natural that even if we haven't resolved how we feel about these things, that they fade away with time, either because we forget them or because we have nothing, there's nothing we can do with them other than feel that pain, and return to pain again and again and again doesn't help sometimes.
I think sometimes though, I think like with my dad, you just come to terms with it, you know, it's just, you know, you accept the fact that, you know, pretty much what, I said it was Nick or you were saying Wes before, it, you know, who knows, you know, whether that another time had gone back would have been fine, or, you know, if it stayed, he would have carried on a few more weeks or months or whatever. Mm-hmm. You just have to come to terms with the fact that there is no answer. And that's it, you know, there's no point. At some point you have to just, because I do tend to forget lots of stuff, but there's certain things that I can't, but I just have to come to terms with the fact that it just is what it is, and it's neither good nor bad, or, you know, it's just there, isn't it?
Yeah, recognizing the unchangeable nature of the past, unless you're rewriting your memories, in which case I guess it's sort of fine. You can do what you like with it, can't you?
Yeah,
I'm curious what that acceptance is, whether it is, because acceptance is often phrased or framed as a positive thing, like forgiveness. It's like, oh, I'm actively forgiving or accepting this thing. It's like, are you? Or is it just part of the natural thing that it just fades? Is that like maybe worse? Like, we haven't learned from it, we've just forgotten about it. We haven't actually like resolved this thing, which is like, well, it just gets older in time, doesn't it? It's like, could have looked after that tree, but it's just grown on its own, nothing to do with me. It's just a thing that happens in your body. But we add this extra meta layer of thinking about it and assuming that we've like, oh yeah, I've come to terms with it. Well, no, you haven't. Your brain just stopped worrying about it. Your brain just stopped thinking about it.
There are some regrets where there is no real learning from. You know, if you take the example that three of us all just given, there's no real nothing to learn from that. It's just in fact, the only thing you can learn from it is the fact that we care about people. You know, and that's it. Mm. You know, beyond that.
Yes, I guess so. It's having that. I suppose ultimately, it's memories and moments that we've attached a great deal of emotion to, and I suppose it's not that different from moments of incandescent joy or sort of trauma that we can't remove. I wonder how different all those things really are in the brain. Yeah, that some moment has that great point of intensity that we've labeled as super important and added all this additional critical importance to. Something weird goes on inside people's heads, I think, and to mine as much as anyone else's, that can't then unentangle. Freaky. Oh no, your ear is just falling out of your head now. They seem like a great new choice, Wes. It's strange, isn't it? I like that we're talking only about like high stakes regrets. I find that interesting. We're not talking about any like, oh, I wish I'd bought a Yorkie.
Good point. Yeah, is the process different with those smaller regrets? Maybe it is. Something else that's come out of this conversation for me, though, is like maybe. Well, it definitely is potential for a future topic, and we can come back to the Yorkie, Nick. Don't worry. But
thank goodness, because it's on my mind now.
Yeah, like defense mechanisms or something. Like, there's something like, in what we were talking about there, about whether you go into full-on no-regrets mode or whether you avoid a feeling or whatever else, because blah, blah, blah. There's something about defense mode, and we got onto a bit of a conversation about kind of how we handle feelings and reactions to things, didn't we? So I think that's an interesting topic to pick up again. But, yeah, so as not to sway you off. Back to the Yorkie, Nick. Yeah, smaller regrets. It's a good point.
Yeah, and what I suspect it is there's a whole load of things that we recognise as being like bad decisions or decisions that we could have made differently. And I think these are all decisions, aren't they, these things that we regret. All the things that we've talked about are decisions that we made ultimately. It's not what other people have done, because you can't regret other people's actions. You know, I regret that someone else hit me with a car. I don't regret that. I'm just sad that it happened, or annoyed that it happened. You know, but I only regret decisions that I've made or failed to make. You know,
I think something can happen, though, which then makes you regret something else, can't it? So, like, you can either regret your direct impact on something that happens, or maybe something big happens, and then as a result, you regret something else. You know, like someone, someone dies, and I regret the way our relationship was. And
because in theory, you had an imaginary choice where you could have made that better, where you could have, you know, I could feel better about this because I can imagine a world in which I fixed it, even though the bad thing then still happened. It was like, but, you know, we shared a pipe together and it was all fine.
I guess I just meant it's not always one singular choice. You can regret like a period of time, can't you? And like,
yeah, I bet we burn it down to a single choice though. Like if you really probably burrowed into them, I bet it sounds like if I just done this one thing in an
event. And maybe that's a defense mechanism, isn't it? Maybe that's like a way of making sense of it, a way of coping, a way to make it easier to manage, a comfort that or self-punishment that it boiled down to this one thing. Mm. Yeah.
You know, why do some of them survive, whereas like the Yorkie regret will be gone by tomorrow? I've just stopped thinking about that. You know, but there must be dozens of decisions that we make and we realize that.
Yeah. Like, is it down to the weight of consequence, the impact it has, or like the intensity of the feeling?
Do you know the one thing I take from this, though? We're getting to the point where we're going to run out of time in a bit, aren't we? So
yeah, we're going to have to close up.
The one thing I take from this, and it probably brings back thoughts of an earlier podcast we did, where Nick said one thing about mental health is when he realized that loads of other people went through the same thing and it had taken away sort of its individuality, originality. It wasn't just me, it was actually quite boring. Everyone had it. But have you just noticed there, we talked about regret then. I've been thinking about my dad since it happened. And so have you two about your own circumstances, the same thing. I mean, the one thing I take away from it, one is it, I feel a bit better about it because it isn't specific to me. You know, maybe everyone in the world has the stat. That's the kind of regret that everyone's got, you know, around.
So maybe it's a part of the human condition is to feel regret, I guess, is what you're suggesting then, isn't it?
Well,
and so it's about what we do with it.
Really important to me. It's really important to me, and I think, God, that's a moment in my life, and it's a, you know, very specific thing, and it's very different. And God, if I tell people that happened, maybe they'll think I'm bad or I should have done that. But actually, not taking on board what we've talked about before, that maybe everyone's got the same regret about that, because
maybe you may wonder though, like whether it's sure it might be part of the human condition and like a necessary part of making mistakes and stuff, but if you didn't have the current regrets that you've got, do you think it would materially change who you are?
That sounds like a weed-smoking conversation, that does.
A little bit, a little bit, but I don't think it would for me. I think I just wouldn't then also have remembered pain or have pain.
So you're kind of questioning the point of regret then, is that what you're saying? Like, what's the function of it?
Yeah, I'm more for like, you know, have a look back a bit, feel some pain, worry about it, think about what you might do differently in the future.
And then don't do it differently.
like any proper person. Yeah. Just keep making the same mistake. Yeah.
I think some of the stuff has affected. I think some of the stuff does change, not massively, but I think some does change my outlook or my attitude sometimes.
I just feel like it just makes me feel really sad sometimes about something that I can't do anything about. Right. I don't feel like that's a good or useful thing. You know, if it was something where I could make a concrete change and I could go, yeah, I'll make sure I never not do something again, you know, I could go, all right, I'll have a series of posts that remind me to do that thing. But because it's the idea of these unchanging things that are, you know, as I say, I think we've pinned on a decision that never really existed necessarily, or that we didn't really have the opportunity to really make a decision. It's just what happened. You know, we can pretend we have agency, but often we don't. Why then must it occasionally consume me in a way that I can't do anything about and doesn't do me any good? I find that vexing.
Because we're cursed with the ability to think and feel and jump between those two things.
Is this about eating that bloody apple again? Because
maybe.
Think that was fine. I think that was an okay maybe. Choice.
The thing I'm taking from what you said, Matt, is that actually, as we've talked about it, we've kind of touched upon how quite universal this is, or how it's a kind of a common affliction or whatever. But that was helpful, wasn't it, to kind of speak that through, and you felt comforted by it, which I suppose lands us on the, if nothing else, just bloody talk about it, because that will probably help. Whether it helps you express the feelings that you're left with, whether it helps you figure out what you want to do next, or whether you just feel better because you've got it out or realize that you're not on your own. I guess that's one nice thing to settle on.
It's true. Yeah. It's like screaming into a cushion. It's good for you, ultimately.
And I'm glad that I got to say that at the end, or I would have regretted it.
Oh, I think you would have forgotten, and it would have been fine. All right. Is there anything that we, because that was an excellent summary of your thoughts and feelings. You got anything you want to summarize with Matt?
No, I think I did it a bit early, didn't I? So I think the whole thing about opening up and talking and seeing how particularly widespread these sort of feelings that you feel that are just affecting you or you've done something wrong that affect other people is a complete undercurrent within mental health all the time, isn't it? It's surprising how boring we are.
I think that's true. I think once again that universality of experience doesn't in any way make me feel better. I think I'm now annoyed by regret as a process, having talked through.
What's the point of it? Is what you're saying, isn't it?
I'm all right with. Yeah, I think ultimately this is an extra bit of pain that I can't do anything about, and I think that's. I don't think I'm super psyched about that. I don't really care if it's part of human condition. I think that's.
I'm not sure I agree with the idea that you can't do anything about it.
Maybe not. Maybe I just need to talk about it more. That's entirely possible. But in the short term, screaming into a cushion will be my next activity.
I'm sure
that. I mean, that's quite fun anyway, whether it helps or not. Mind you, I've got a giant window here. I could just scream out into the world and compete with the Chinese New Year fireworks that will be kicking off shortly.
I guess that's us then.
I think so. Until we meet again, okay. I have to think of a new exciting topic. But as before, if you've enjoyed this or been enraged by it, we'd be interested in hearing your views.
Or what your regrets are. Yeah.
Indeed, yeah. And we can variously determine whether or not they're things that you're going to have to live with forever. Or
maybe you regret listening to this.
It's you're not going to get this half hour back. That much I can tell you. There's no way to do that on Earth. But I guess until we talk to you again, look after yourselves.
If you've been affected by anything that we've talked about tonight, that's cool. We were kind of hoping you would be. If you haven't been affected by anything tonight, then that's great too. You're probably fine. Of course, if you say you're fine, there's a good chance you aren't. So you might also have been affected. And if you've been affected before, you probably will be again. Please talk to someone. It can get better, and together we can survive. We are what we overcome. Little boy, grounded by the sun, paler by his side, but something strikes with all what we overcome.
No regrets.